I think we can go ahead and get started. Bob said he can hear us. We have Bob, the chief, and another number I don't know.
Okay. So I don't need to call in on my phone to participate. Is that correct?
No. But I don't know how well people are going to hear you.
Bob, can you hear me?
I have him muted. Hold on.
Bob, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Bob can hear me. Anybody can hear it.
All right. 6:08 p.m.
All right. Mute Bob. All right. Good evening, everyone. This is the Meadows Place City Council special session meeting. This is Monday, May 18th, 2020, and it is 6:10 p.m. For those note on the record and for anyone listening, we're starting late. We had technical difficulties, but now we believe we're all up and running. We are at City Hall. We are physically separated, and we are on our way. Item A is call to order and announce the quorum is present. All of council is present here at City Hall. Item B is discussion and consideration of Section 9, Declaration of Public Health Emergency Compensation of the City of Meadows Place Employee Policy Manual. Council, this is a bunch of stuff that has to do with what we're going to do on this item and the next one. Nick, are you or Courtney going to lead us in on this? Is that going to be you?
I'll start.
Okay.
Off, of course, Courtney's correct. So, Council, what we saw was when we were looking at basically item C, this resolution, sort of the reason we were coming together tonight, what we noticed is that that actual policy that you guys adopted a couple of months ago is directly tied to that emergency declaration. So essentially what it says is, if you look in that first paragraph of the policy, it says this section outlines how compensation and work schedules will be handled once the mayor signs a declaration of local disaster due to public health emergency. So what that means, in our view, is that if council chooses on the next item to go and extend that emergency declaration, this policy will stay in place so long as that declaration is also in place. So we wanted to give council the option here to look at this policy, and we'll submit to you that it might be a better idea for the details of this policy to be worked into the disaster declaration itself, so that you can modify it as you want to, instead of allowing this whole thing to automatically kick in just by extending the policy itself. Does that make sense? So,
one question on that. At the county previously, for emergency events, in order for the overtime or whatever to be eligible for reimbursement, you had to have your policy adopted before the event.
Right.
By working it into the disaster declaration, does that cause us problems with any kind of reimbursements?
It's my understanding that, when was this adopted?
March 20th. I believe it was March 20th. Let me
see. This was, I think, adopted after the state declaration anyway.
I can't look.
I think that even with this policy in place on the books, because it, quote unquote, doesn't go into effect until the mayor approves the emergency declaration, it happens at the same time anyway. So this item really gives council the option to. The biggest concern we had was, let's say council wants to extend the emergency declaration for another 2 months. There's money tied to this policy in terms of the hazard pay that the employees are getting. We've got the numbers to kind of show you tonight if you want to see them, how much has been spent so far on that emergency pay. And so this gives council the option to continue an emergency declaration if you so choose, and also modify this policy in terms of the number of staff in the community building and the actual hazard pay itself, because the way it's written right now, this full policy is still in effect if you extend the declaration based on what's written. So, will it,
or you modify the policy?
Or you can modify the policy. and we talked a lot about that. The policy is, in my opinion, a good one for something that happens in 2 weeks. It's not a good one for something that happens for 5 or 6 months. And that's kind of what we're talking about. We don't know how long this lasts. There is a budgetary impact to this extra week for the essential employees, or the extra 10 hours. Yeah. So you have some options.
What is the financial impact so far?
So looking at the numbers so far, we've been through 4 full pay periods with this hazard pay built in. In those pay periods,
so that's 8 weeks.
That's 8 weeks, and it'll be 8 weeks basically up till this past weekend when this pay period closed.
About 15 grand.
The total so far, just on the hazard pay, is $64,588. That averages out to about $16,000, a little over $16,000 per pay period on hazard pay for employees. And that's, of course, during this disaster declaration. So if, for example, council extends this disaster declaration over 2 weeks, the policy is tied to it, you'd spend another $16,000 in the next 2 weeks. Now, the caveat to this is that with the CARES Act money, roughly 75% of this $64,000 is spent is PD hazard pay, specifically PD. The CARES Act is pretty clear that those emergency personnel, those personnel that are designated to respond to the health crisis, can be reimbursed through the CARES money. Assuming that when we get the CARES money, that portion of this hazard pay can be reimbursed, then we're looking at a 75% reimbursement of that number. We've got a kind of temporary expectations. We don't know if that's going to happen. A lot of that's going to be determined by the county. But I think the CARES Act is pretty clear that that is an eligible expense to be reimbursed through the city. But it's not in the bag, and it's not guaranteed. So,
what is the 75% of the, it's what, 32K loan? So, 75% is PD. What is that primarily driven by? I guess I forgot the policy.
2 hours, basically 2 hours a day. The prepping of their vehicles.
So during the public health emergency period, emergency response personnel who are required and authorized to perform work for the benefit of the city shall be compensated their normal pay, plus a weekly hazardous pay of 10 hours of the regular hourly rate.
We calculated the 2 hours, figuring the time they're spending disinfecting their vehicles, their uniforms, everything. Yeah, so it's about an hour before shift and an hour after shift that they're using. But it also included the department heads who continued to work regular schedules. Yeah.
So this really is just an item to open up some options for you. Because the way we're reading it, it's pretty clear to me that the disaster declaration that has been enacted is tied directly to this policy. And should you choose to extend the disaster declaration, this policy in full will still be enforced for however long we do the disaster declaration. Not assuming or suggesting that $64,000 is a lot or not a lot, but it's part of why we're talking about this, because there is a budgetary impact of extending this. And not only that, but there's the question and issue of how many staff are in the building. Because there's that discussion as well, as far as who's going to be here. And
what are we doing right now?
We're staggering our schedules.
Half day or something?
They're coming in every other day.
Well, can I just give you a little background? Part of the reason the county went back to work 2 weeks ago was because of the financial burn of all those employees either not working.
Yep.
Or working and gathering emergency leave. So what the county did for non-exempt employees, if they were working, for every hour of work, got you an hour of emergency leave as well. Basically double time. At first they were gonna pay out that emergency leave, but because of the financial hit to the county, they put the brakes on that, and now they're gonna carry that emergency leave for some period. If it's reimbursable through the CARES Act, those employees might get a check. For me, being a exempt employee, I didn't get anything as long as I didn't work over my 40 40 hours. And other than our construction inspectors, we did not authorize anything above 40 hours for any of our employees.
Period.
Right.
So is the county back to work?
Everybody but the libraries.
Either to amend it, repeal it, or do nothing, leave it as is.
$17,000 projected in the hole, is that correct?
Repeat that, please.
When Anna Maria came up with those numbers, what we were projected to be for this budget year based on everything, what did we include as far as the hazard pay?
Yeah, and we didn't project out future revenue, we didn't project out future expenditure loss associated with more hazard pay, but on the revenue side, I'll say this, that number that we did a few weeks ago is already off because, number one, we'll continue to buy more PPE and other equipment materials. Number two, we did go ahead and get the sales tax numbers in for May. Anna Maria did a good job of scouring that, and it looks as though we're still on track roughly exactly where we were this time last year on sales tax through May. We didn't have that data before.
It's actually March or April?
March.
That would be March. And so roughly, we received, so May of 20, which we got a few days ago, there was about an 11% drop in sales tax from May last year. However, when Anna Marie looked at those numbers, she noticed that once again, Sam's was not included in that number. Mm-hmm. So that 11% drop is gonna, be not by what Sam should pay us. So what you're looking at is roughly about the same as this time last year.
How long did you run the hazard pay up on your projection?
We didn't carry it forward, I don't think. I mean, I think we accounted for what we've done so far now and pay, and assume we're gonna continue to do it for a whole long time.
So in my view, like, this is just like some kind of cleanup so we can do that. I think the bigger decision is, like, how long are we gonna continue with this hazard pay?
That's the decision tonight to make.
How long are we going to continue to have dual shifts or every other day and continue to burn? And
let's assume that we're going to extend the declaration for purposes, because if we do away with the declaration, then the whole hazard pay goes away.
Right. Well, I'm assuming we're going to extend the declaration, but you don't have to do the hazard pay.
Right. We do not have to extend the hazard pay.
Because that's what the county did.
But what we're saying is, the way that policy is written, as long as we're under that declaration,
it's attached.
You're paying the hazardous pay.
Right, and so we're going to have to do something to change that.
Yeah.
And you can last time we talked, staff was ready to go back to work, especially if we left the doors closed to the public. Is that still the case?
Well, and I know my staff in front has we have decided if we continue on the alternating shifts, they're splitting the work day so they can still come in every day. Because when they have that one day off and then they come in the next day, they're trying to catch up everything from that day they were off plus everything that's happening that day. So it gets a little overwhelming.
And they're walking out of here feeling pressure.
I personally
have an answer to questions, yes.
Yeah, so I'm ready to tell all the employees to come back to work tomorrow, Monday, whenever we decide. I don't know where the rest of you fall in on that.
Okay.
Whether we open the doors or not.
And I don't know if we can just add a paragraph to our policy that states when council decides that it's safe for staff to resume full schedules, the hazardous pay.
That's also covered
stops.
In item C.
No, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the policy. I'm talking
You're
about
talking
the policy.
About overtime policy.
I'm talking about this.
And the staffing, when do they come to work policy.
I'm just saying that we could add a paragraph in the policy that states once count, but it's like a catch-22. You declare it safe for us to come back to work, but we're still under declaration of emergency. So I say maybe you could just add a paragraph that says once council determines it's safe for staff to return full time, the hazardous pay stops. That way we still have the declaration, but council has determined that it's okay for staff to return full time.
Yeah. So the key sentence is that second sentence at the top of your policy, which says
and I apologize, everybody doesn't have a copy because I didn't print the full packet out.
Okay.
I can go print copies if everybody wants one to look at.
Okay. Well, essentially it says that this policy shall, well, how compensation and work schedules will be handled once the mayor signs a declaration of local disaster due to public health emergency. So if we were to find some way to modify that sentence, you could do so, keep the policy, and basically allow council some discretion on how you're going to treat, how you're going to do compensation and attendance.
Can you just put a line item in there? Council can change this at any time.
It's got to be by vote.
Yes.
Well, I think that's already implied.
Yeah, that's always implied.
I like what Rick said. Work is said. Extend the declaration, ask people to go back to work, get rid of that.
Effective
tomorrow.
So will we change the policy to say?
I don't know, whatever we came up
with. We have to just.
Our standard payroll will be Monday to Sunday.
Our standard payroll is Sunday to Saturday. So we started a new payroll yesterday.
No, we can modify it.
We'll prorate it.
Oh, it's very simple to prorate that. That's not a problem at all because I set it up as a completely separate pay code. So it's very easy to modify.
You're essentially getting 2 extra hours a day. It's kind of what it
amounts. Yeah.
So we can prorate that easy.
Yeah.
I guess there is a question, though. Maybe this is a question for the chief. If we do this, does the chief feel like we still need those 2 hours every day?
So part of the reason that the chief and I discussed the hazardous pay was to show our officers that we appreciate and acknowledge the extra effort they're putting in, because other staff was working 20 to 25 hours a week and still getting their full salary. So it was kind of a way to say to our police department, we acknowledge that you're working more and putting in that extra effort. So if everybody just goes back to regular pay, I don't think the officers would have a problem because
so they're still going to do the cleaning.
They're not going to stop what they're doing.
That's up to them, their protocol, and that's exactly right. What it is.
Yeah.
And they still get paid if they work.
They still get paid whatever hours they're working. Yes.
Just for paying extra
because of
that.
I'm good with this.
Yes.
All right. Somebody needs to make a motion in some sort of regular form other than that's all right with me. And I like what Rick said.
Do you need to repeat it?
Yes, I do.
I move that we modify the employee manual to remove the hazard pay being linked to the declaration or the emergency declaration.
Effective immediately.
Effective 5 p.m. today.
But
7 p.m.
There's two components to it. There's the hazard pay, and then there's also
the work schedules.
Work schedule for the hazard
pay. And allow staff to or say that staff will come in during the regular hours.
And allow staff to return to regular schedules.
9 p.m. tonight or whatever it is. Does it matter what the police means they're on shift?
Yeah, I mean,
no.
You want to say return to regular schedule 6 a.m. tomorrow?
Yeah.
Have you got all that?
6 a.m. May 19th.
Do you need to read it back to Rick?
So I've got modify the city's employee policy manual to remove hazardous pay being linked to the emergency declaration effective today and allow staff to return to regular schedules 6 a.m. May 19th. So here's my question. It doesn't really modify that policy. I'm confused because it doesn't really remove the hazardous pay. It just says remove it from being linked. So we just keep this policy and remove the hazardous pay from the policy?
No.
It's not tied to the declaration then, and it's not in effect.
So do we want to just repeal the whole policy?
I don't know that I want to repeal the whole policy because we might want it in the future.
Right.
Correct.
Three short motions, like motion one, modify the policy.
Can we not just add a paragraph to that policy?
You could. I mean,
stating
you're
at council's discretion, they stop the hazardous pay and return staff to regular schedules?
Well, what you need to do is you need to...
By council action? So how, that's what I'm asking. That's his motion, but how do I remove that link? Because we're only going to work that when we're under a declaration. Do you see why I'm confused?
By disconnecting it from the emergency declaration,
doesn't do away with it.
We will then have that policy on the books to be put into place or put into enforcement upon vote by council or
something to the effect of this. Council has the discretion to enact this policy with the disaster declaration, and also has the discretion to remove the effect of this policy at any time, even during.
So wouldn't that just, couldn't that just be a paragraph added into the policy?
Yeah, we just take the second sentence out, basically say compensation of work schedules pursuant to this policy can be adopted as a part of this disaster declaration and can also be removed by council vote at any time.
So we're just going to add that to the policy?
Yes.
Pretty much sums it up.
Well, when we initially thought about this, my first thought was just get them in here, repeal the whole thing, copy and paste the language into a disaster declaration, the same language into a disaster declaration. That way, when you bring the disaster declaration back up, you can modify this policy however you want to in the disaster declaration.
Yeah.
But if we want to keep the disaster declaration on the books, then you just add a sentence that basically says this can go into effect at any time during a disaster and can be removed at any time during a disaster.
Okay.
Okay.
That doesn't deal with what we got today, though.
What do we have today?
You've got this policy with all these hours laid out tied to the declaration.
That's why we're making the motion.
That's why we've got the motion that Rick made to disconnect that. So we got the first thing we've got to do is disconnect it.
He did. Opinion. And then he said also to remove the hazardous pay and allow staff to return to regular schedules at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Got it.
So I guess the amended motion would be disconnect from the emergency declaration, put into place that it will have an independent vote by council, and a third part
with
of the
an independent vote by council.
And
yep.
The third part is as of today or tomorrow, 6 a.m., that policy is.
So you have an independent vote by council to enact and stop that policy? And then, so we want that, and then are you going to have a second motion saying for staff to return to work?
We should have said a separate motion. So let's.
Or should that fall?
So the first motion
is to separate.
To separate from the emergency declaration.
Okay.
So we've got a motion to separate the policy from the emergency declaration. And who seconded it?
John.
Okay, John says seconded. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. They are now separated.
Second motion. So the policy was put in force whenever it was.
March 20th.
My motion is to take the policy out of force at 6 a.m. tomorrow and allow staff to come back to work.
Okay, so we have a motion to remove the policy.
Second.
At 6 a.m. tomorrow morning and let staff go back to work full time. And we have a second by John. Any indiscretion?
We
got to
let staff know. So
yeah.
Won't be until Wednesday.
No, my staff all knows that I was going to contact them tonight.
We got
so
no
they're
problem.
Prepared to come back tomorrow. So come back Wednesday at 6 a.m.?
To come back.
We allow them to come back at 6 a.m. tomorrow if they don't find out until Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my staff is all prepared.
Have a
to
motion,
come back
have a second. We've had some discussion. Are we? We're going to notify staff to come in. Those that get here. Those that don't. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Kelly, you need to speak up instead of wrestling those.
So at this point, I don't think we need any other action on this item.
Correct.
And like I said, the reason I think it's important to have it on the books is I've heard from the county side, if you don't have something in your manual well in advance and you try
right.
to slip something in.
No, no, Rick, we already took that. We took a beating on FEMA with Ike.
Well, Harvey.
And then, I mean,
Harvey.
We took a beating on Ike.
Oh.
And then we thought we were protected, and we found out we weren't. And I think we're in pretty good shape right now.
We are now, yeah.
Until they go move the goalposts, that's exactly right. But you have to have the policy in place before the disaster. The disaster date was sometime in March. We had it in place, and we should be covered. All right, so moving on. Item C, considering Resolution 2020-25, extending the declaration of local disaster in response to COVID-19, open city facilities to public and city staffing. Okay. Have y'all read any of these?
So my question here, once again, goes back to the CARES Act, emergency bans. If we do away with the emergency declaration, does that put the reimbursements in danger?
It shouldn't, but it might. And I think we need to stick with this because right now we can apply under emergency declaration. If we pull emergency declaration, man, they're liable to say, you pulled your declaration, you're able to go to here.
Right.
Well,
we can't just ride under the county.
Correct.
Or the state one, right?
No, not if we're going to be applying for city funds. And Rick, we no longer have the ability to go to state. So we've got to go through the county. And so we need to, in my opinion.
We can handle the declaration.
Extend
open city facilities separately, right?
So how we did the last one is we put it down in the bottom, section one and section two. The mayor has it right here. So it says we extend it through a certain time.
Section.
And then the last one, we said city offices remain closed to the public and
staff
work alternating shifts. So we could say this time staff is coming back on regular shifts and when you want to open city hall.
And it's my suggestion that we go ahead and open up, let staff come in. They've got some catch-up time. We've had new computers. We've had new everything come in. We had a new desk because it crushed and fell apart. All these different things, and staff is looking to get caught up.
I'm fine with getting staff back in here. What's everybody think about?
June 1st.
Well, opening to the public, not just City Hall, but playground equipment.
That's
seeds,
a different issue.
Well, that's city facilities.
It all needs to fall under this item.
Because I think we can go take those off at the parks director's discretion.
Well, I've seen a lot of unrest out there. And pretty soon, people are just going to tear down the fencing, and what are you going to do?
Put them back up. And it's going to go away in all likelihood this evening, okay? I don't see that being tied to it. It's with us needing to name every little thing on here.
Well, city facilities covers everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Except there's not, there. Our parks are open.
It doesn't say city hall.
We wrote the agenda item, Mayor, as
we've got
city facilities to the public and staff.
And staff. Okay. And,
so
and what's not closed? We've got parks, buildings aren't closed. I mean, aren't open.
Rec center?
The rec center is not
Discovery
open.
Discovery center?
That's
Nature
exactly.
Center.
All of those things are going to be opened at different ongoing levels, I believe. Okay? We're going to hear the Parks Director discuss all of that in item G. I'm sorry, in
well,
item
Well, item G
F.
is just the 4th of July.
Where is it? Oh, up.
It's I'm all sorry. Right here in C. Man.
Oh, it is C.
It's
okay,
all in
it's
C.
all in C. I got...
It's all
you gave
in
me
here.
New notes, sorry.
It's all in C.
So we're going to move up to that. I think what we need to do is hear from the Parks Director right now to address that, because every one of those are coming up.
Okay. So we have several different topics to discuss.
I've got all kind of notes. Mm.
After the meeting today with the governor, it does sound like we can reopen our playgrounds with a caveat. I feel that from our city's perspective that we'll take down the fencing, we'll open the playgrounds, the benches, the fitness equipment, but we'll also post a sign that checklist of distancing and reminders to wipe your surfaces and wear gloves, those types of things. But we can remove all of the fencing and have the signs up and prepared within the next 2 days. That does not include splash pad. The governor did not include splash pads as being one of those approved areas that would be reopened. So at this point, splash pad would remain off until we're informed or requested otherwise. But we will open the health and playground for all. We will open the fitness equipment area, the pavilions at the lake that are fenced in, the pocket parks that we have fenced in, and all will remain open. The splash pad will just remain turned off. Okay, so again, we can do that effective within the next 2 days. In regards to the Discovery Center, it being a facility that is open to the public, paid admission, that falls under the museum caveat, especially since it is more of a children's type of facility. Everything is hands-on, everything is touched. We will not be opening the Discovery Center at this point in time because of the ease of transition of the germs and the difficulty in keeping it sanitized after each visit, and also the animals that are there. It would just pose a greater challenge, I think, than we are prepared to be able to handle.
Staff-wise?
Not just staff-wise, but just the ongoing cleaning of every single item that every child touches as they come in.
Hold on. Yes, Steve, this is Right Technology. Yes. We did a workaround. Yep, I don't know if you've heard that term in your business, but we did a workaround. Yes. Well, perfect. We all handle that with Courtney as we move forward, but for tonight, we're done. Thanks. Bye. Sorry, let's see what he had to say.
Colleen, you can talk about summer camp as well?
Summer camps and pools.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. Thank you.
So the next item is our public pool. And we are under the guidelines that we could open back up with a 25% capacity use, which we determined that to be 25 people, 25 visitors at one time. That's the visitors. Mayor, we did not consider the lifeguards in that 25% capacity, so that number will probably go down more to 18 to 20 people at a time to be able to have proper coverage. However, that's better than zero.
Hold on. Do me a favor. There was some language in some of those things where the governor said not counting employees, and others he excluded employees, and some he included them. Double check on that before we open, of course, but
sure.
We may have a slip there that we can.
So basically, anywhere between 18 to 25 at this time, whether that includes employees or not, we feel, following the health protocols, the standard health protocols, that we could open the pool on a registration-based system. So we could handle 25 people from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. They would have 45 minutes of use of the pool, whether that be the lap lanes or in the pool space activity. The last 15 minutes, they would be exiting the pool facility, and then we would sanitize and get ready for the next round that would be able to come into the pool at that time. If indeed we didn't have anyone register or reserve for the next hour ahead of time or walk-ups, then we could extend that time if there are people in the pool and say, well, no one signed up for the next hour, you can extend for another hour. This would still operate underneath be per person. If they buy a wristband, it'll cover all the time they come in during the summer, so that process would remain the same. We would remove all lounge chairs, picnic tables, those types of things. Again, that's because of all of the need to sanitize it in between each turn. Therefore, we would encourage and educate the community to bring their own folding chair. So they can bring a folding chair, they can bring an umbrella. Again, it's a 45-minute increment that they're there. They would also bring their own beverage because the water fountains would be turned off. They can utilize the restroom facility, but we do ask that they come in their swimsuit, leave in their swimsuit. It's not a chain locker room type facility. And that will help again control all of the extra touching of areas. Now, in regards to managing and coordinating this, we will have to have a larger number of staff on site at one time. That's already been built into our salary line item, so there's not an increase expense for us to do that. But we will have a larger number because while you have the guards that are watching the pool, you have to have the other ones that are checking temperatures, checking people in, assessing, disinfecting. So it's just a constant flow of checking, disinfecting, and guarding. But we do feel like we could accommodate that and offer some sort of a water amenity back to the community in the summer, given the parameters that we have.
Any other questions about pools?
When would you open the pool?
Good question, and there's another thought on that as well. At this point, we have guards that we have hired. However, training has not taken place. So we have to get all the guards in. They have to finish their paperwork, get their drug testing done, and then we need to do the training, which is about a two-week training time frame. So if we determine tonight that we are going to, in fact, open the pool back up, and I'm able to make a move on that this week, we get open the pool effectively by June 8th. I do want to mention this, that opening the pool and running it even under these minimum standard health protocols, we do need to acknowledge that we are putting our lifeguards at risk for infection. They are safe. There's no way to prevent exposure. We're talking a grab from the pool or to pull a child out. Obviously, CPR, they have a mask, but an initial exposure, that potential and that risk is still there. I just feel like I need to state that. That's all I have to say.
Kind of follow up on that. You know, the one that's taking the temperature, eventually somebody's going to go to the pool, and then 3 days later, test positive for COVID. At that point, we're going to start into the tracing program. They're going to say, I was at the city pool. What day, what time? They're not going to be able to tell us the exact time or date, probably. Hopefully they can. But at that point,
well, our work reservation,
right? Because everybody that they had contact with now has to go into quarantine, right? Expecting the state to say that?
There is. That is still a protocol that once there is a identifiable
contact,
yes, it goes into the 14-day quarantine.
Is the governor open the pool?
Yes, with protocols in place.
And so, I mean,
this was not addressed specifically, what Colleen is talking about, but I think it's a real possibility that somebody's, a guard's going to get exposed. What you're saying is also, now Colleen, you're going to have a registration process or policy in place. If I come up to go to the pool, I'm going to have my name on there, and I'm between 2 and 3 o'clock.
Right.
So if I'm between 2 and 3,
can narrow it.
Boom, we can sit down and say, we had 14 people at the pool plus a guard.
But whatever 3, 4, 5 lifeguards that were there that day,
they're on.
Probably not going to manifest within a day where they can then be contagious. But, you know. See, this is what we're dealing with at engineering right now because we do have the public coming in, at some point somebody's going to log in, and 3 days later we're going to get notified, and we've pretty much told our employees be ready to go into a 14-day quarantine.
And, you know, there's some positives on that, because the chlorine, all that kind of good stuff, that's going to kill it. Okay, or it's not going to pass it.
Right.
But that could happen, and you still got to identify. That's why that's part of the protocol for listening.
I'm all for opening. Just be aware that at any point during the summer, we can be shut down for 14 days.
And I have talked with many other parks departments all across the city, and some are not open. Some are choosing to keep pool closed or to look at it later in July and see if things have changed. Some are in a position as we are. They don't have lifeguards ready to go. They don't have anyone on the list. And some other cities, instead of opening it to the public, the public swim, it's lap swim. And so they're specifically controlling the lap lanes, one person in a lane at a time, same type of protocol. They sign up for a time, they have 45 minutes to swim, and they're out. That's a little more controlled and constrained than it would be to have a family of 10 all in the pool swimming and having fun. So there are options as to the extent y'all feel comfortable for us to open.
Questions?
Waiting 2 weeks really doesn't solve it. This is the same discussion.
Yeah.
The 2 weeks is going to be while she trains her.
Yeah, that's right.
And what Steve is saying is instead of opening June 8th, June 25th, or whatever. It doesn't matter when we open.
You're going to have the same issue.
You're going to have this potential issue out.
Period.
So last week, we were notified that one of the construction people out there on one of the crews tested positive. So that entire construction company, that crew is shut down. Our inspectors were out there on that job, but they weren't in close contact. So we have not been put into quarantine. But if that inspector that was out there on that job, if he had close contact, we'd have put him in quarantine, and let's say 4 days later he tests positive, our entire department's shut down at that point because we've all had contact with him.
And that's the possibility here as well. Steve, what was your comment?
I mean, my initial reaction was, let's not go over the pool, but I mean, I don't think 2 weeks is not going to make a difference. I mean, we're going to be in the same boat here, 2 weeks, 4 weeks,
yeah.
6 weeks. So, my idea is whatever.
We can be dealing with this next, all through fall.
What's the timetable for ramping up from 25 to 50 to 75, or is it just 25?
Not right now, it's just 25.
Right
now?
So it'll be 25 for the rest of the summer, right?
That's what we'll see. Another item that we would also close down next to the slides. Diamond board will be open, so we can easily sanitize that.
What do you feel? What do your guards feel?
I would.
Here's my thought. What are those teenagers and what are those 7 through 12-year-olds going to be doing all summer if the pool's not open? They're splash pad in somebody's backyard. They're playing with the hose in somebody's backyard. They're really not going to have any more exposure than they're going to have anyway just because they're going to be out playing with their friends. The guards are the ones that are maybe a little more contact than they would otherwise have. But as you said, they can always decline to be guards this year.
Most unusual. Okay.
So
we've covered...
Why did we choose that?
It's
easier to, well, one, because we have to limit the number that are coming in. So
right.
To get a greater number throughout the day, give more people the opportunity, you need to shorten the time frame that people can stay.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the guards need to take a break. Every 45 minutes, they take a 15-minute rotation break. So that'll be a good time for everyone to be out of the pool. They can take their break. We can all clean.
Gotcha.
This is only going to matter the first 3 weeks of summer because after that our numbers go way down anyway.
And we'll see what happens this year.
Coming in today, can a family register at 9 a.m. and at 2 p.m. or is it one time slot per day per family?
I don't want to be in the business of policing it.
Yeah.
So I would say that they probably could register more than twice a day. I think that would be
fair. You can't register four times between 9 a.m.
9, 10, 11, 12.
And one opportunity we do have this summer, swim team is disbanded for the summer. So that opens up our time frame of we can do longer hours in the pool. We used to not open until noon because swim team is there in the morning now. We can open up morning hours if we so choose.
You could open up in comfortable hours, closed at night.
Right.
So, but John, in answer to your question, one of the discussions that took us an hour to have over this pool business included the ability to be flexible on those times, okay? As demand comes up or decreases in Rick's scenario, we go from 45 minutes to an hour and 45 minutes, okay?
Based on demand.
I think after the first 2 weeks, you might have 10 people signed up and you're gonna take 15, you won't have 15 walk-ups, but the two walk-ups.
Yep, absolutely. But again, they're in, they're registered, they've got their tags, we know who they are.
Unless things have changed from when my kids were young, we were at the pool all the time in June, and by August we never went.
So,
summer camps.
Okay, so before you go on to summer camps, we're going to say that the pool will open 25% capacity June 8th?
If it's so.
Approximately.
Well, I'm adding this all these things into our declaration. June 8th, or as soon as guards are trained
yes,
and ready.
Yes, yes.
Because we also have to have all the disinfectant and resources in the house to be able to keep everything clean.
Okay, so I'm going to say June 8th, or as soon as fully staffed. That way.
Okay, summer camps.
Summer day camps. I will be happy to answer any questions y'all have in regards to summer day camp and what that would look like. Operate it? Do I feel like we can meet the standard health protocols? I do. However, bottom line is we will be running at a deficit on a weekly basis to be able to run it appropriately with the number of staff that we would need to have in house to keep everything sanitized, to keep distancing requirements, and to be able to operate the camp effectively. And this is an approximation amount, but if we were running 11 kids, it'll take 5 staff for 11 kids because you have to have different, you have to have disinfectors set up and break down. And then you also have to have smaller groups, counselor-child ratio to be able to spread them out, distancing. And so that comes in at about $1,600 a week that we would be
at a deficit.
So that's the question to you guys, is that something that you want to accept as a city, that we're going to be running a deficit of
Dollar-wise.
Dollar-wise, yeah, to break even. And so now the additional changes that we have to put in place, we would have to have five staff for 11 kids, and that would be a seventh episode of 1600 a week.
How many people have called you about our camp?
We have three that have sent in registration forms.
We'll be sending one if it happens.
There's also some difficulties running camp this year. Tell us about that a little bit.
So we would have to utilize the community center versus the Discovery Center so that we could space them out.
No critters, no treat.
So
that's anticlimactic.
We would actually, within the next couple of weeks, if we decided to move forward, we would need to really redesign camp. Because most of our things are very interactive. Kids, they're climbing all over each other and sharing crayons, and that didn't happen during summer camp. So we would have to purchase additional resources, spread people out, change the types of crafts, not do cooking classes. Things would just look different. Not that we can't do it, and we can always find fun things to do.
I'm not for shutting down. Anybody else want to have it?
I think we ought to just let it ride out this year. Just
well, Council, what we can also sit down and take a look, if middle of July something changes, we can regroup and regather based on Parks Director's requests.
That's assuming you can find employees at that point.
Well,
no,
assuming.
And again, I feel like we can come up with other substitutes, other types of programs, an hour-long program versus a full day, full week. Movie nights at the park, something that still engage the community and or children, but not to this level that would really be something else.
Well, I think what we've seen is that the summer program is a very successful program and well received within the community. It's also, because of that, a more difficult one, because that's our kids. And there's no way you're going to keep those kids separated and not passing germs from one another without additional way of staffing up. So we've got to...
almost get a fogging for disinfecting.
Well,
you have to get a fogging machine.
You can't.
To get everything.
No, we've got one, and you can't fog the kids.
You can't. Is it saying on
the yeah, no kid fogging. So we've had...
I think we're okay.
Yep.
We have a question on the tennis courts. Are they open, closed?
The tennis courts that we've never closed. They've been open the entire time. So the courts are still open
because
and available.
You can social distance there.
Social distance, that's correct. And my passes to get in. Two other areas of decisions that we need to make in regards to the programs. Taekwondo, karate, exercise classes, those types of things. The governor is still highly recommending that no programs are provided for 65 year and up participants, so we will not put our active adult programs back in place this summer. So we will not reopen those this summer because that is a group that
it's also the high risk area.
High risk. Also the same with the fitness class and swim class for that age group, we just will not open or offer that. However, what we can do is we can still allow our instructors. Now, these are instructors that the city pays the instructors to run a program like Gym Plus with Taekwondo and then also karate. They can have the option of running programs in addition to our protocol, distancing, sanitizing, those types of things, if it's in the 25% of the capacity of the building. So we would allow them use as they have had.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say something, but I stopped.
We would allow them use, and then because, for example, Jamie's classes run 30, 40 people in a class in a 1 hour or 2 hour time frame. She can now stretch it out over several hours if she so chose to, because now the community center would be available. We can still come in at the end of the day with our fathers and sanitize everything and sanitize the bathrooms and get it ready again for the next day. So those opportunities, I feel like we can still offer the community, and it would fit within our the protocols.
As long as the instructors, you know, follow the protocols.
Oh yeah, that's what it is. We're not going to police it. So martial arts.
Yeah. How are you going to knock something down?
So no.
I use one kung fu, and the guy falls down.
But we're not. That's on the instructor to do that. We're not following up and checking.
Right, but if there's a complaint given by the community, we already have a signed agreement from the instructor, so we can handle things from that.
Well, they should probably have anybody who attends those sign a waiver as they come into their class.
That's on them.
We're going to have a declaration that they're going to follow.
I think we put a sign up on the rec center that says, follow social distancing.
And then the final item in regards to opening the facilities, we need to discuss rentals at the community center. That is a big revenue generator for us. And if we are following the guidelines, it would be a 25% capacity, which would equate to about 40 people could attend a rental. And if they know that up front, that's something that we can still do rentals if you guys are comfortable with that. We do have a clean room to come in at night to disinfect, so it would be disinfected from one rental to the next rental, but the numbers would just be smaller, more of a baby shower type than
it. Once again, we're not going to police it. We're going to tell them 40 people max.
Somebody comes in there with 83 people, we're not counting.
Is disinfecting very curbing any extra cost?
John, that's a good question, though, because we're sitting here chasing this thing, which you're going to see later, even on the CARES Act. We're running into expenses, and those are real dollars that we've already spent a bunch of and we're going to spend more on. I'm going to throw this in, and I'm kind of with John on that. If once we determine what this cost is for that rental, I'd like to see you put right on top, $23 COVID disinfectant rental fee. And that way, it's fair to everybody.
Yeah.
I think, you know, people...
And I think... And plus, you know that it's getting disinfected.
Exactly.
I know when we go to the mechanics, you'll get a disposal fee and everything on your bill.
Yep.
And in the similar field, bill. You have the biohazardous fee added on.
And that does two things. I think it shows, one, that, hey, we're doing the job, and it's on a user fee. I mean, there's no more fair tax than a user fee, so.
I think if we do that, we're going to actually write that down and put that declaration.
Yes.
Specifically how much, that kind of thing to happen.
We don't know how much it is.
Well, yeah, I think we just say disinfectant fee to be determined by city staff.
Just have that written down so the council blesses that additional fee, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
If you want to bring it back at a future meeting, you can.
I was going to say next week.
If you got the number.
We'll look at and see what it costs to do that. We've got more discussion about that kind of thing. A little later.
Okay. Are you done with listing all your items?
Yeah.
well, we're going to move that. Item G.
G.
G, we're going to move that up in a minute. Okay.
I think that leaves City Hall. What are we going to open City Hall?
Yes, that's
so right. Before we go there, let me inform you all of some stuff. So staff got together as a group last week and discussed, from our perspective, what it would look like for us to open back up, to open the lobby back up, let people come start coming in.
No.
We basically listed out the things we as a staff would want to do in order to protect ourselves, protect the public. We have that list, and it essentially mirrors what is coming out of the governor's office. Sanitizing workstations, wiping down surfaces. We did go ahead and order 4 foggers. 2 of those 4 foggers have arrived, and we talked about as a staff, what are we going to do daily with those foggers to disinfect? We'll do a daily, at the end of the day, a daily fogging of the public facilities and the entire City Hall. 6-foot distancing in the lobby, putting tape on the floor, and just those types of things. Court is a whole separate discussion that we'll have to have a little bit later. We're not quite ready to go there yet. But what really what we're talking about now is, from a staff perspective, what do we need to do in order to do their best job to sanitize the building so that we can open it up to the public. The other thing that we've gone ahead and pulled the trigger on is getting rid of these sliding windows at the front. We're actually putting in some plate glass that does not slide, that protects the employee from the person on the other side of the window. That is scheduled to be installed on Wednesday. And so that also, technically, is a reimbursable expense under the CARES Act. But again, the big caveat is the commissioner's court and how they want to handle the reimbursements.
Sleazeball.
PD did a very good job of doing their best to stock up on disinfectant, on microfiber towels. We have what we need to take care of our stations now. However, there is a burn rate to that stuff. And as you know, anywhere and everywhere, you can't get that stuff anymore. So it's a finite amount of stuff that we've got to disinfect, but we've got it in the last weeks. We've talked to the chief today about running down more materials as quickly as possible, but everybody in the world is doing that right now. So that's where we are from a staff perspective. We did, just so you know, get with the fire marshal and did a couple of things with the fire marshal last week. We actually did an occupancy calculation of this room to see what the actual occupancy is based on the permitted table and the building code. Yeah, the mayor's not going to like me to ask. So that if we do want to put a limit on occupancy when we have council meetings and we have court, we have those numbers.
You got to share the numbers if you got them.
Yeah, well,
you want that in public record?
We only get 2 people. If we're lucky.
So.
Well, it's not council meetings we're worried about. It's court.
Well, then you're in luck. So essentially, what it is it's when you look at the table, it's square foot per person. Okay, and you look at the square foot of the room. So for a council meeting in this room, maximum occupancy based on the fire marshal is 75. So we can pack it with 75.
We didn't ask them about your, when she does a concert in here.
Here's the kicker. The mayor's not going to like this. Here's the kicker. If you change that use over to a court with non-fixed seating, that maximum occupancy in this room is 28. So that's another discussion we're going to have.
You bet it is.
So you're going to have 200 scheduled for June 8th?
But
say not fixed seating, removable chairs.
Removable chairs.
Like pews, church pews, you could go.
Believe it or not, fixed seating is a different calculation. Non-fixed seating, it's all listed out in the International Building Code. Something that the fire marshals swear by. So really a couple of questions, obviously. Number one, when you talk about City Hall itself, when do we open to the public? Staff will be prepared to do our best job of disinfecting. We'll have the windows in place, we'll have the foggers in place, we'll have the spray in place, we'll have the tape on the floors in place. So really the question is, when do we want to reopen the City Hall?
Councilor,
when did you say the plate glass would be in?
Wednesday, start Wednesday.
So in theory, June 1st would be a dual report.
Yep.
What's the topic?
Same what?
We can do it again next week.
Yes.
We need to revisit it, so.
June 1 is a Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Sounds good.
Time for June 1.
Nick, I'm just a comment that you made. You said that we have resources, limited resources in-house for attending this. That's really going to affect the opening of the pool too. If we don't have the resources to be able to maintain it open, the pool, that could either push that timeline back or not allow us to call. So just
right.
So I'm going to say staffing and sanitizing resources.
Child labor is not allowed.
The saving grace that we have, we're not talking about a bunch of Clorox wipes. What we have is essentially bottles and bottles of concentrate that we will then dilute in spray bottles and use those to wipe down surfaces and that kind of thing. So, again, you know, we talked to...
But we're also going to have to need to have a supply train. Be able to continue that.
It will eventually run out. I don't have to tell you what PD is doing back there to disinfect and sanitize, but it is disinfected and it is sanitized. We're not talking about quite that level, but we certainly will do our best to protect ourselves, protect the community when they come in. I think the other discussion we may want to have is when the doors open, do we go ahead and allow 100% capacity, or do we talk about maybe reduced number?
Other than court, I don't think we've got a problem other than the day that they're all coming through to pay tickets, right? Other than that, do you ever see anyone close to that number?
No.
It's only court.
So, I mean,
but I think you need
leaving court is another discussion. I don't think.
But I mean, however, when we start selling pool bands and stuff, we do get a pretty full lobby out there.
You get.
But we're not going to have
a rotating lobby.
So.
Parks is going to have to put somebody here too during that time period. Okay, that's fine. Do we have a figure for the area outside?
No.
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 Okay.
But, you know, at the same time, the other thing staff's talked about is actually limiting access in and out. We go ahead and bar these doors so the folks would have to come in.
And we're going to divide the two entrances. One entrance will be for utilities and permits. The other entrance will be for court to kind of help separate people,
again,
to help distance people.
The other thing we'll talk about is the staff. And we're actually meeting tomorrow morning at 9 to kind of go over the details of this. Should we go with June 1st, that's how much time staff has to gear up and get ready to decide who's going to do what. You know, we talk about restrooms, we talk about sanitation. All these things need to work out very deliberately. Some of this stuff will be reimbursed, provided that the county goes ahead and distributes that
in a word form.
And so, from a budget perspective, you know, we'll be made whole, we hope, on a lot of what we spent already on the PPEs, the windows, for example, you know, those kinds of things.
To me, I reviewed the restrooms the same way I reviewed the parks restrooms, where they're available. At your risk, you can choose to use a public restroom or not in these strange times. Some people can, some people don't have that luxury.
The other thing we wanted to mention, Mayor, and we talked briefly about that this morning, masks, and talking about masks. We have options. We can recommend it. We can require it. I kind of prefer to ask if you thought about that.
For
never going to get people.
For staff or for people coming
not
in?
For people coming in. Notice the two words you used.
Recommend.
So we can simply put something on the door that even says master recommended. You see that in a lot of places already. Let them decide. We're going to be protected by glass. We're going to tell our staff, look, try to avoid face-to-face contact with them as much as possible. Speak behind that window. We'll do our best to protect ourselves.
And the employee can either bring their own fancy mask, or I'm assuming we have some masks available for employees.
We have a few.
We don't.
We have a few that PD can give, but not on a daily basis. So they've got the N95 masks that they have back there, but they don't have them.
They're not giving us those.
No. Well, we got a person in town that is making these and selling them for pennies. $3 or $4 a mask.
Right.
Huh?
My daughter-in-law's making those. Maybe killed $7,000 in sales.
So, I mean, we can get cloth masks.
Hey, Elaine.
And look, I mean, quite frankly, we as a staff have been working together for weeks now under this declaration, under this reality. Some of us are wearing masks and some of us aren't. And I don't know if that's going to change. We feel the way we are. So we kind of know where we are, what we're doing, and the risks we're taking. But when you open up the front doors and you allow that unknown element to come in, it's a different ballgame. So that's kind of where we are.
I think we should try to obtain some cloth masks, make it available to the staff. You get one.
Well, and I think the staff working the front windows would appreciate having masks.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and you know, get the ones that you put the filters in. Get some extra filters.
Talking about the coffee filter deal? Sliding it in?
What's a coffee filter?
It's the,
yeah, most of them. A lot of them I've seen have been coffee filters.
Yeah, it's the carbon filter.
You pull this out, throw this in the wash, and replace this. My wife ordered them, batch of 10 or 20.
We'll look into that. I agree with you.
The staff's going to talk more about court. We want to explore more options. Courtney is going to talk with the judge.
Do y'all want to try to set a date to discuss court?
We could do it next week.
I'd say next week. We could.
Okay.
Assuming we're talking some kind of vision or teleconference court.
We've talked with the judge about it. He likes the idea, but there's some details associated with that.
Nope.
Every town is dealing with the same thing right now.
Our prosecutors have to do it.
We just had our rules redone, and so I know that the county judges were doing teleconferences for different hearings and different things like that. So,
well, they took our temperature when we went to the commissioner's court meeting last week.
I'll be there tomorrow again.
The judge has said he's okay with in-person court, but he has also said he would do it via Zoom, although he has not attended the training he must attend to do it via Zoom. So... just so you know, when we get back, our courts are packed.
I'm sure.
And they're writing tickets again.
Well, to me, if you gave me the option of doing it, I've got a 10-minute window or something to do it on a computer versus having to come in here, I can tell you what I'm doing.
Me too.
Well, the judge said it sets up as a Zoom, and then as he calls a name, that person unmutes, and they do it right there. So everybody's going to be on.
First come, first serve, and you get in line, and you just walk your way right up the window, and it doesn't get any more fair than that. So, all right, so we'll discuss court next week, try to have some answers from the judge on when he's going to have his test. Send him an email tomorrow, Courtney, asking him for
I think he and the prosecutors have to do it.
Copy Nick, copy myself, and send it to the prosecutors as well. All right, here we go. You're done. Correct?
No.
You got nothing else to offer or talk about?
Oh, no, we're not. He's just talking about this one item.
We're on this item. Okay. And we're talked about City Hall. We talked about
So this is what I have courts. For. I have that staff is returning to regular shifts. City Hall will open to the public June 1st. Playground equipment will be opened with signs. I'll get the wording from you. The pool will open at 25% capacity on June 8th or as soon as we are fully staffed and have all the resources for sanitizing. Summer camp is canceled for now. Taekwondo and karate can resume with 25% capacity. Community center rentals may also resume with 25% capacity. And that's everything I have. Discovery Center remain closed.
Discovery
Center.
So we've just heard all that list of city facilities. So we've had
And the park has always been. The park has always been open, so that's not an issue.
Correct.
Parking just went through.
They've been open.
Baseball fields?
Yeah, they opened too. Well, the governor just opened them back.
No, the governor said they could go play.
Oh.
Yeah, sporting events.
True.
So if it wasn't closed, it doesn't need to be.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so we've had
so moved motion on this list.
Perfect. As Rick.
Who's my second?
A motion by Rick, a second by Kelly.
Yeah, I like Kelly.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Council, with your approval, I'm just going to move it. Discussion and consideration of the annual 4th of July parade, which is lower down. I want to move it up and discuss it now since we've got the Parks Director here. This is another interesting one. I will precede this by saying we listened and the governor didn't mention fireworks that I heard. Did you hear it?
No.
Did you hear it? We called the county. The county is okay with it. Had a discussion with the fire marshal on the county call. I asked the question. What's his name? Flathouse came back. Liked that guy more and more. Flathouse came back, talked to him, said county is okay. They're still issuing permits to HOAs and to the
non-agency entities.
Yes, okay. Most of the cities have not made up their mind or canceling. So it's up to us.
We want them to cancel that over here.
I'm not telling anybody. So I think this is something, and with that leading into it, Colleen, I'm going to flip it over to you and let you bring us up to 4th of July parade and post fireworks event.
Let's
first start with a
volunteer parade.
I got a question.
sorry for kind of shooting this fireworks thing down last meeting.
Yeah, I'm thinking we don't have fireworks in this place, so.
No, I kind of like the idea. I just still kind of wondering where, you know, I know Lost Creek Park would shoot them off at the power plants. How convenient we have the power that I'm trying to think of. But I like doing the parade in the evening, followed by the fireworks, better than I like getting just at, even at 9 a.m. scorched, sweating, you know, if you get done, you know, might as well throw a bottle of water.
Not a little exaggeration, maybe.
I think in the afternoon or later in the evening, finish up where people could just sit out and watch the fireworks. That'd be cool. That's my 2 cents. Next.
John, let me ask you this. What are your thoughts on, because you've been doing this parade a long time, and y'all have always participated in a big way, and you've overloaded that truck 100 ways from nothing. What are your thoughts on, yeah, you too. What are your thoughts on the parade as she described it? Kurt, your thoughts on it.
Do we think there's going to be updated regulations as far as that goes, or do we want to set something in stone? If we say yes to a parade, we say, okay, yeah, we can't have a swim team, we can't have a lifeguard trailer, or do we wait until closer to time to make that call?
So libertarian me says that's their choice.
That's what I'm
Yeah.
And if, I'm not going to be out there saying, show me your ID, is that your kid or is that the neighbor's kid?
No, but if it's 14 people on that float, that's above the limit.
It's 10, if we say limit 10 or 9 or whatever we want to do, is that?
And if 14 people show up at Elfman Park and are sitting there having a picnic, you expect our police to go break them up?
I'm going to go have a drink and watch popcorn and watch fireworks.
I'm just saying that where this is headed, the civil disability, it is just going to start getting out of hand if people start trying to crack down on this stuff.
And she's sitting here trying to maintain a parade based on the governor's edict. How do we do that? What do we say? And council?
Fireworks.
Council?
Like the parade. I like the idea of setting it up out there. I mean, to me, it's not. I mean, right now we all get in a parking lot, and we can stay in our parks, and you can tell people, no more than 10 people on a float with 14 people show up. You know what? Who cares? We're not going to force it. And then we just do, like John said, a little Disneyland thing, if you need to. I mean, I think it actually works pretty good today. We just tell people you can't be going in groups and stay social.
Stop the socializing like we usually do.
Yeah. And wander around. So that's okay.
Not gonna break it up.
And then we go down to. I don't like the idea of a night parade for some reason. It's
to me, it's the logistics of it. What time is the fireworks? After dark. How are you gonna make sure to time the parade so that you get down to the park still in the light, but not have to wait real long?
So the idea on that would be that the parade would lead out beginning at 6:30. So 6:30 p.m., it doesn't get dark until 8:30. That's when those
8:27 on July 4th.
So at 6:30, the parade leads out. It typically takes an hour, so it's 6:30 to 7:30. So from 7:30, we wouldn't shoot the fireworks until 9 p.m. So that gives those that were in the parade an hour and a half to go back and get settled, the cars away, the floats away, get back over to the park or wherever they're going to need the fireworks from. if we eliminate that part of it, the parade can be backed up further. So then maybe we go out at 7 and finish the parade by 8. So then you just have a 40-minute lag time before the fireworks go off and not have all the food and everything as well. Again, these are just decisions that you guys have to make based off of our...
Cook, you were in the middle of something. What were you going to say about floats and all that?
I think as long as we don't deviate too far from the norm, it's going to feel a lot better. We're going to have more participation, more people in the streets. Let's still have a baseball one or whatever one, but we tell them, hey, limit is 10?
If they have one.
Yeah, I mean, baseball is not organized this year.
No.
So they've disbanded for the rest of the spring.
I think they would still have a float.
I would.
We have more people do two floats. Swim team.
I guess, 4th of July, people get up, they have barbecues, they sit in their backyard. What do? They drink beer. And then you're going to come up 5:30, 6 o'clock, we're going to have a parade. Or just something maybe I'm just a traditionalist. It just doesn't feel right to me that, like, having a parade at night and you're going to. We're going to have to coordinate it with the fireworks. I don't know. I'm just kind of...
Steve, I'm with you, but I think if any year for us to try it and see how it goes, this is the year to try it.
I've been to parades in the evenings. It all depends on what you're used to. I'm a morning parade guy.
I like it because then we're done.
But then you're done. But if we have the fireworks... And there's about a 4,900 difference.
Who's
making
for the fireworks? EDC?
So in regards to fireworks, EDC has committed to cover the cost for the fireworks.
No, they haven't. They've committed $5,000.
A specific number.
For the fireworks show. Itself.
Yes. You also have staff that are there from a long time if we do it that way.
July 4th is a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, Saturday, July 4th are low numbers anyway.
But people aren't going to be going out the same way they were either.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen by July 4th? I don't know.
You heard about Cotapa this weekend, right?
What?
Gotapas, the Jeep thing down the beach, they were packed.
Yeah, well, those are Jeep people.
Yeah, I was going to say they had shooting.
So.
So the question is, are we having a parade? One. If we are having a parade, is it an evening parade?
So I'm wondering, did you make a motion?
I would make a motion for an evening parade and fireworks.
We have a motion for an evening parade and fireworks. Any further discussion? I'm sorry. I need a second. Okay, got a second. Any further discussion?
I need to know, are we offering concessions and beverages, or are we just doing the
barbershop? I don't know yet.
If we want to hold people
this
for
discussion, do you have something to offer?
Remember on Splash Day, we used to do it during the day, and we'd meld, and then Charlie said, let's do it in the evening. Lots of residents' heads spun around, they spin, and everybody closes down. Okay, we used to do Splash Day and melt out. Okay, change that first year when we said we're going to nighttime, it looked like the Exorcist was spinning out. People spinning, cussing, it's not going to work.
That's the Antichrist, don't you?
And if we went back to Dayton,
I'd like to add one thing, and that's, I think we need to make it very clear that this is a different year than we normally face, and that our anything set now is not set in stone. I mean, heck, Aggies have to do something twice in a row before it becomes a tradition. So let's, I think if we move into it with that caveat, I think most people would be accepting of it. But they were at the time?
They were at the time, but again, that was before they weren't going to have a season. And then I would like to bring in Kona Ice for so much.
So any other food, so you said food trucks as well?
No, I was just going to do Kona Ice, snow cones, and concessions.
Baseball.
I don't know if that's going to be enough, unless they can crank them out fast, because if we've got hundreds of people trying to eat in a...
Once again, Saturday is traditionally our low turnout. Now, we have no idea what it's going to be like.
Nope.
And so what I would say is allow them, you know, if they're going to have one table, maybe they've got four tables in front of their cooking station so that we can try to distance the lines better.
Yeah. I hope we don't run out, and I hope we can...
It's going to be, I mean, they're rolling the dice if they say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
We could have a fabulous turnout.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure they're prepared, too.
Who's that?
Baseball.
They're prepared for...
We could have a fabulous turnout because other people are canceling their fireworks. Or we could have nothing because everybody decided to go to the beach or do whatever.
We can word this at this point to where we're going to have concessions and let the parks director move through this, knowing that council is in favor of it with beer and with swim team and baseball. And if we feel like we need to come up and modify and add 16 food trucks because of 30,000 people we're getting, so be it. Yep.
If we had a concert that held people there, they would come early, sit, relax, enjoy, and eat, and then stay for the fireworks show. But we're not offering that this
right.
year. So I can't get another food truck in.
Yeah.
It's possible to have, if swim team wanted to do concessions and baseball wanted to do concessions and take that chance.
That's up to them. It's their expense.
Yeah, absolutely. We should do that.
So, where are we?
We've got a motion for an evening parade and fireworks with concessions.
With concessions and beer, please.
Yeah. Okay, we've had a motion.
We have a second.
Second.
John seconded.
John seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Steve's abstaining.
Yeah, you're a no. Come on now. No. You are put on council. Oh, you're off of council. Oh, no, you're
he's on
council. To vote on these matters.
I all the way. No.
So all in favor?
I should have made a deal for something.
I didn't hear you vote.
I
Was
he said aye.
Okay. All in, so the motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council. Thank you. I've got nothing else for the Parks Director other than a big thank you, Colleen. I know you were busy preparing.
Kelly's the one who swayed my vote.
Oh. All right, thank you, Kelly.
You know how I told you, Linda, don't look at the fireworks.
Okay.
Oh, either. I should have said, depending upon me getting the Hummer again.
Yeah, I might take that thing away from. No, I'm going to drive the tractor.
With the night parade, we probably won't get room to get.
Oh, no, they're out anyway.
Regardless, day or night, we don't have that option. So, everyone prepare to have
your own cars.
Line up your own car.
I got a 68 Camaro convertible I can get.
Oh, yes.
I want Colleen to move on.
Of course.
Thank you, Rick. No, Vroom's out. Yeah, advertise.
Well, I'm glad I heard that before.
All right. That's a lot of stuff we've just covered.
Yeah, let's speed this up.
Hey, discussion update regarding Coronavirus Aid Relief Economic Security Act CARES.
I don't know if they're. I just saw I got messages that they can't hear y'all, but. It's only staff who's on, anyways.
All right. So,
I don't know if anybody can hear.
We're on
item D.
D. We're jumping around.
Well, we moved G up to the top. We're now on D. I don't know where my packet is. It's not tabbed. No wonder I'm having a hard time here.
I didn't have anything for your Vroom update, for your CARES Act update.
Okay.
You didn't give me anything.
Oh, well, I should have. That way you could have tabbed it. Okay.
We're not on that one yet. We're just on your update. Yeah.
We're looking at this CARES Act. What has had going on right now is the U.S. government came up with this CARES Act, threw a bunch of money at the states. For distribution. The states then broke it up and distributed it however they wanted to a certain degree. There was what, 120?
134 was the county.
134 million to, that came down from the state to Fort Bend County. Long story short, since Fort Bend County was over 500,000 population, they get all the money and they have to distribute it to the cities. If we had been in Brazoria County, we could have called up and asked the state for our money. If we'd have been in Waller County, we could have asked the state for our money. We're in Fort Bend County, we have to ask for it. I just want y'all to know that we're fighting for it. The county has, Nick is on one committee, which is the Economic Development Group Committee. I'm on the Mayor and Council Committee. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm real tickled that we even got on there. Kurt, what they were going to do is put us all, lump us in with the small cities. And I went, no, no. And so then I got a hold of, and I put us on, I said, we're taking a seat at the table. And so they let us have that. And I said, furthermore, we want Nick to have another seat at the other one. And they went, okay. And so we're there. We're working hard. His committee had a whole list of things to list out priority-wise. We had a list of things to list out priority-wise. And the top four included things like salaries, PPEs, disinfectants, and all that type of stuff. And the county just turned it upside down, so we're in the middle of a battle with them. I sent out a letter today to all the Fort Bend mayors. We're going to be talking about a resolution here in just a second that addresses this. But we're going after it. Hopefully, we will get some funding. What's scary is the county gobbled up a big portion. They let off, Rick, with a, what do you guys in construction call that slush fund? The contingency. Oh, it always bothers me when somebody leaves with a contingency that was more than what we're due to get. I understand the problem, though. This money runs until the end of the year, the calendar year. We don't know what we're faced with. I mean, we're hitting up most of our expenses right now. So far, we've spent, I'm guessing, what, 130?
That's what we're supposed to, yeah.
Okay. About $130,000, that's real cost with PPEs, windows, computers, our overtime costs, all those types of things that have been.
It's $64K on hazard pay.
Right.
Yeah.
The other half is
what? PPE equipment.
The windows for the front desk.
For the separation, okay?
So windows plus air, windows plus the
okay. Yeah. So the rest of it is, yeah. So that's where it ends. Now, what are we faced with coming up? I don't know. I just don't know. And they don't know, and I want them to leave some money. If that contingency is slated for all those cities plus Meadows Place, I might be a little less scared, but I am. So I just want to let y'all know this is a real deal. It's costing us money. So far, Nick and Courtney have done a real good job. Anna Maria is tracking numbers for us. The Chief's doing an outstanding job in categorizing everything. Okay? So.
There's an emotion on this one.
There
this
is emotion.
Just an update.
You're getting. I'm giving you. I'm about to finish up my update and ask anybody has any questions. But guys, the CARES Act is something that you're going to hear a lot about.
See, everybody's lobbying for their part of the CARES Act. Businesses want their piece. The faith community wants money to give to people that
rent.
Can't pay rent, who can't buy food, who lost their jobs. So everybody's trying to get their piece of this pot. Some of it is hard costs like we've had, and other of it is.
There may be.
But here's what bothers me. The county, including our commissioner, has kind of hinted that maybe we ought to be chasing some FEMA funds. And my feeling is, if they have that much faith in FEMA, let them chase the goddamn FEMA funds and give us the cash. Because the cash is in Fort Bend County Bank right now. So that's where we are. And in case anybody... No. The commissioners have all the say in it. They're going to dole it out.
Did they form these committees to get advice on how to dole it out?
Yes, they did. And then they put contingency on top and give me the rest below.
There's layers between the committee and the commissioners. And so we go through Ed in this case, and they compile our data and give our data to the commissioners. There's a word for this. It's called politics.
And it is in full play.
Well, I mean,
and that's okay.
It provides them a layer of cover for how they decided to.
Far and away, the number one, when they consolidated all of our requests, because all of the entities, including Meadows Place, submitted to them what we thought the money should be used for. Most, just about every city listed the same stuff. And
let me interrupt real quick. We spent some time, and it was Nick, myself, and Bob Gray, because there is an economic component to this, and we wanted to be fair. And so we did have economic development input on this. And I thought we did a pretty reasonable job of not hollering at each other too bad. Go ahead.
So, pretty reasonable job. So the number one request for reimbursement, far and away, was payroll reimbursement, was getting reimbursed for our hazard pay. However, when the county compiled that data and presented the commissioner's report, that was no longer the number one request.
Number four?
It was number four. Number one was PPEs.
Number one was slush fund.
Well, they identified it, but anyway, the bottom line is that while we're speaking and while we're communicating what we think our needs are, ultimately the commissioner's court sits to decide how much we get and what we get. Now, you may have heard about the $55 per capita for cities.
Y'all heard about that?
So basically, the guideline that came down from the federal level through to the state level is that for cities that don't fall within that category of the $500,000 that we talked about a second ago, cities can basically apply to the state for $55 per capita and get that money immediately. We could not get that. We didn't get that. In fact, no city in Portman County got that. However, what you'll see in the resolution coming up is a request to the commissioner's court that we get at least that $55 per capita. And that would give us 230 some odd
6,000, yeah.
And so if we get that, then that certainly goes a long way in not only making us whole, but giving them some options going through the rest of the year if, let's say, we find a way to spend that money on something else that helps protect us, protect the community. We as a staff have gotten together and brainstormed some ideas on, let's say we do get COVID money that doesn't cover what we've already spent. What could we spend that on? And we're still talking about that as a staff, kind of brainstorming those things. Ultimately, what we don't know at the county level is how are they going to determine that method of distribution to us? And how are they going to make sure that our entities spend that money correctly? And I think that has a lot to do with why they're stalling, because they want to make sure that this money gets spent correctly. And the mayor can probably tell you a little more about his conversation with the commissioner about their apprehension.
This thing, nobody's ever had this done before. If we were Missouri County, we could have sent off, written to the state, said, hey, we'd like our money. They're sending that money back very quickly. They're trying to push it out. The strings are not there coming from the state, but the state's liable for the audit. Here, the county's liable to the audit. They're a little bit apprehensive. And as our county commissioner said, Charlie, when there's this much money floating around, somebody usually goes to jail, and it ain't gonna be me. So everybody's walking on eggshells to make sure they do everything legal. You wanna peel off some of your friends, but it better be the right ones for the right reason at the right time and not illegal. So they're being cautious. But that's it in a nutshell. We're saying that the money came down, should have come to $174 per capita. But the state said 55. Bottom line is that's the debate. If y'all have any questions or anything, Nick is right in the middle of all of that. Call him up or call me up and we'll be more than happy to.
Are there some cities in pretty bad shape?
Hmm?
Are there some cities that you're hearing some issues?
Sugarland and Rosenberg have got hit pretty hard on the sales tax after the third second.
But the CARES Act money cannot replace revenues, period. And that's one of the things we all at our level wanted to see if we could get that for was revenue loss. And the CARES Act's very clear. No, you can't.
My guess is Stafford's got hit very hard. Luckily for us, Sam's Club obviously was one of the highest turning revenue things right that were around. We'll need to see what happens with the car dealerships, which are generally 2 and 3 on our sales tax, because that kind of repair might be able to be something you would defer if you've lost your job.
Or you get it fixed rather than buy a new car.
The new car sales don't matter to us.
Nope, they don't. I want everybody to get their car fixed. So, guys, the CARES Act, in case any, you just need to be aware that it's out there. The Meadows Place is into it up to our knees, and we're glad to be at the table. We are, I believe, a contributing factor in being a good citizen for the rest of Fort Bend County, and I just want y'all to be aware of it. In the past, we never were there. We are. You just need to be know that we're there. And that was the whole item of that. Anybody got questions on the CARES? Then let's move on to item E, which is a discussion and consideration of resolution 2020-26, suggesting how the corona Virus Aid Relief and Economic Security CARES Act funding should be allocated in Fort Bend County. There's only four whereas of five, so I'm going to read them to you. No, you don't need the whereas. There's three sections down here in the below.
We can read Charlie.
Have you got, oh, you have them?
Yeah, they have them.
Oh, well, then never mind. So what we want to do, and what I'm asking for is a motion, is to pass resolution 2020-26, so we can get this out. We're going to fire it out to Commissioner's Court in email. I'm going to take copies down tomorrow to hand out, and I'm going to get it to every mayor and council association in Fort Bend County. Now, do I have a motion?
The question I have is, why not ask for more? Why not ask for more?
Ask for more?
Yeah.
These figures are coming down from Washington and the state of Texas. And
so we're asking for the lowest we could potentially receive it.
Correct.
Okay. Under the federal guidelines.
Correct.
Okay. 174 cost was 800,000 plus.
What's that?
The 174 per capita. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, motion to approve by Kurt.
I'd say we're gonna get it.
No, hey Kurt, the problem is we're having to fight for the 55.
Yeah, we're gonna see how good you are now.
Okay. Have a motion. John, did you second? Okay, did you second? Any? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Council.
Is KP in the middle of this too?
Hmm?
Is KP in the middle of this
too? Oh, yeah. He's trying to.
He's trying. I know. That's why I'm
trying to exit.
No, he's trying. Well, better hush. It's on live. Item number F, discussion and consideration regarding the Second Amendment to the development agreement between the City of Meadows Place, Texas, and Lovegate Property Holding, DBA, Texas Correct Auto, Vroom. I was in several calls while this was taking place at 4:30.
Well, this actually just is everything that Council discussed at the April 28th meeting. They were asking to, you know, have some extensions of deadlines and defer their $10,000 a month payment. So our attorney said that it needed to be a second amendment to the development agreement. We sent it to Vroom on last Monday, May 11th, asked them to have a signed copy back tonight for council to review. They sent it back at 4:30 today with their legal counsel's changes. Okay. Well, our legal counsel read their requested changes and they were okay with it. They were, yes. But Vroom still has not sent the signed agreement over.
Yeah, check your email.
Table or
I just checked it.
Well, the fact that they haven't signed it is, in my opinion, important.
Move the table
until we get a signed copy.
Okay, so John, you're seconding it?
I moved the table initially.
Yeah, I was very clear to him that we wanted a signed copy here tonight. And like I said, he sent it to us at 4:30.
Like we sat on our tail. Okay, so we got a motion to table. Had a second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Just let them know that if they don't give us a signed copy, they've got to live with the original agreement.
Right. I will email him.
Which the only teeth we have though is to yank their
right. Right.
Which means so get with Nick, y'all come up with a good appropriate nasty.
You notice they have no cars across the street now?
Oh yeah, they moved that all out.
Yeah.
Discussion Swagat.
And consideration regarding agreement with Swagat for live streaming of city council meetings. Guys, first of all, I want to thank Courtney and Kurt for all the hard work and research we've done on this, but we had a little snag coming in from what we talked to council about last time. we thought we would be able to lump all this in and it would be able to put it under PEG. We're not. We're going to be able to cover the mechanicals under PEG. The rest of it, the annual software licensing fee and all that stuff, is going to have to come out of general fund. That general fund is $6,000 a year. So I just want to make it clear that we're going to pay $6,000 a year to stream our council meetings, not have anybody come in and input, and looking by the judging, by the stuff we're turning out, we're going to be paying about $400 a person to have somebody look. So.
Are the streaming, can they ask questions?
No. All they can do is watch it.
It'll be archived as well, so people can go.
It will be archived, and the question I had for Courtney, and it took us a little bit of time to figure it out, is could she come back in 4 years and pull a segment of a meeting up?
You can do a word search on the
based on word.
Video.
And yes. So they said yes. So it's not without its bonuses somewhere down the line. So do we still want to move ahead with Swaggart?
So okay. You're moving.
We have a motion to go move ahead and swag it.
Second.
Second by Kurt.
Wait, do we think this is going to be a solution
They are for a streaming.
Yeah, what is the problem we're trying to solve again?
What is
the problem?
For the people, so people can watch from home.
It's a lot of money, just so people can look at the front and set on the box.
And I would like to remind council that before we went to our water system, all these people were screaming about they wanted smart meters so that they could do all this by home and they could monitor and they could. We got 54 people. We spent tons of money on that system.
And I will remind council, for what it's worth, once you open the store, you cannot. There's no legal justification for no longer videoing city council.
And on our teleconferences, no residents are calling in this meeting or our last meeting. Last meeting, we had two.
The quality of our last meeting, except for you, no, the Zoom call?
The last one was good.
The Zoom call was really good. In fact, the people who didn't participate, it was y'all three, if y'all would have been sitting at your computers on the Zoom call,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a perfectly...
Right.
Extreme.
Yeah, and I saw right now they're saying they can't really hear anybody other than me and the mayor.
Well, I think this, whatever we do here, if we do this live stream, it'll fix that, I assume.
Yeah.
But
we don't have to do it.
At that point, as long as we've got mics sitting like this, it might still be a problem. But if we're up there on our mics, it should be good.
Yeah.
And while I agree, once you open the door, it's hard to shut it again. But to me, that is a yearly budget discussion based on the number of people that are actually watching.
And the agreement is written that if for any reason council decides in the next budget to not fund us, the agreement terminates.
This was, and I'll remind you guys, this was something that was requested. And I know people requested the water thing. I wasn't a part of the council at that point. It's the thing that's been requested, at least from me, when I was running my campaign.
No, and I get it, Kurt. I really do. And I wasn't averse when people come up and say, well, I'm coming there with my Facebook on my phone. I said, great, come on. Well, I'm going to. I said, great, I'll save you a seat.
Yeah.
I'm good with going and starting it. And like I said, we evaluate at every budget year whether it's worth it or not.
And you know what? If you take it away from them for a year and say, next year, if we pass the budget, you need better be on there, maybe they will. I think it'd be great if we had 1,000 people watching this thing.
It'd be good if they did.
It would be.
Unfortunately, the way I feel about it, you probably got three people that want to do this.
Yeah.
We're spending a lot of money for those three people. You know, we've all heard of them. We sat here in this room. We want so lazy fat asses. Anybody, but that's why you're here. But that's what
and you know who you are.
I'm seeing from a lot of people. So you can eat chips on the sofa. Will you get off your butt and come up here? I mean,
John.
Not-
John, let me hope that didn't fail.
Well,
guys, we all have our thoughts on this. The question before us is, are we going to, and I believe we're trying to meet a need.
Yeah.
At least an emotional need to a certain segment of this population, and I think it's a good deal from that perspective. I also want to point out, and Rick, I hadn't thought about that. If we come up and people just flat aren't watching it, next budget cycle, you just eliminate it. And then we'll see if who complains, and if there's more than two, we'll bring it back.
See, what I like about it is if we can at least get the installation covered under the PEG fees.
Yep, which we can.
Very limited in what we can use.
It's about $10,000 of it
but it's very restricted fee.
Right. We get in here, we get a video system in place, we get it hooked into the audio. If we need it for a court case, we've got it. If we need it for a special event, we've got it. The hardware. We can do away with having them start the video, stop the video, monitor the video.
They don't start
or
stop.
They don't do it. We do it anyway.
We have to.
No, that was another thing.
That's what we thought, but then when I talked with Vin, he said, well, we'll come out and train you. And I was like, train me?
It's an extra fee to stop and start it.
Yeah, so.
That's fine. We should be able to train 3, 4, or 5 staff members to be able to how to do this. It's not rocket science. You know, that way we can record any of our events that we want to and have a video archive. That's what I like.
He got this made up already.
And then every year we determine whether we want that yearly maintenance or we just buy our own server and we store it here.
I will say from a staff perspective, it's helpful. When we forget what you guys say at these meetings, we can just pull up the video and remember, and it helps us to implement.
But I do record every meeting.
You want a blackmail job?
But I
want
to see their facial expressions on that.
Well, John's was red. Okay, so.
We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries unanimously. Adjourn. Motion by Steve, second by Kurt. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Go home.